It is good to be with you once again on this first day of the week. We can take advantage of the opportunities and the help that the Lord has given unto us to be back and to study a portion of the Word of God. We're grateful unto Brian for the capabilities that he has of leading us in singing. And as I have told him before, and I won't tell before the congregation, I think he does an excellent job in leading the singing for us. We're truly fortunate to have someone such as he who has this capability, and we're thankful for that. For the time that we have together this evening, I'd like for us to consider just what it is that goes to make up a fool. And really not asking the question, but looking at it as that a fool is an individual who despises the instruction that comes from God. I dare say if we ask everybody in the audience here this evening, every one of us, if we were asked the question whether we considered ourselves to be wise or to be foolish, I believe every one of us would say, well, you know, overall, I would consider myself to be wise. And maybe from time to time, and maybe in several areas, I would consider myself to be just a little bit foolish. But overall, I think I'm a wise individual. And all of us have given that choice to define these particular words in whatever way we want to. We would say that we are wise. But what does the Bible have to say on this particular subject? The Word of God is very clear, I think, as we look to it, and has some very clear-cut ideas about those individuals who would be considered wise and about those individuals who are considered foolish. And as we look at what God has to say on these particular matters, oftentimes we will come away with the conclusion that, well, maybe that's not exactly the same thing that I believe on the matter. But we want to look at what God has to say. Examine this question, am I wise or am I foolish? And be ready at the end of the lesson this evening to answer that particular question. You may go ahead and answer it right now. But wait and see till the end of the things that we have to discuss to determine if we are wise or if we are foolish. When it comes to learning, learning occurs when there is a transfer of knowledge from one individual to another individual. In the case of teacher to student, what we find is that when learning, our instruction is given and learning takes place, is that whatever is in the mind of the teacher is expressed in words and is learned by those who are the students, that they understand the things that are trying to be expressed by the teacher, that they come away with a knowledge that was trying to be transferred from one mind to another mind. And roughly, we might say, basically, that's what happens when instruction is given and when learning takes place. That is, the teacher teaches the student. Now, this transfer of knowledge from one individual to another individual can be limited sometimes due to certain things that happen. And it may be, in some instances, the fault of the teacher. The teacher may not be able to choose the right words that he or she wants to in expressing the knowledge that they have and to the level of understanding that the students, so that they might know what is being said. The teacher's speech can hinder that, in other words. He might, or she might, as a teacher, go into too much of an explanation. It'd be too long, and the student would not understand it. It may be that the matter is complicated, and yet the explanation or the knowledge be given in terms that's too short to where the pupil can properly understand these things. The teacher may not make it very interesting. I'm sure we've all had in school from time to time that teacher who is very boring and just does not make the subject interesting at all. And as a result, the student does not learn. There's not a transfer of knowledge as a result of that. But sometimes the process is hindered by not the teacher, but it is hindered by the hearer, by the student, by the one who is supposed to be learning these particular things. When it comes to the Word of God, we recognize the fact that Jesus is the perfect teacher. He taught perfectly the Word of God. He used every illustration in a right and in a proper setting. And He is the one example that we should strive to follow in our teaching, to learn how to be a teacher. He was the perfect one. But we find in many instances he did not convince everybody that he talked to. I dare say that if we went through there, we found a percentage of individuals that really learned what he was trying to teach them, that it would be probably below 50%. He probably didn't teach the majority of people. They didn't learn from him. They rejected the things that he had to say, although he was the perfect teacher. Again, using the perfect illustration at the right time to try to get the truths across to the minds of those people that he was teaching. Christ warned others as to be careful as to how they were to hear the word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, after he is talking there about the parable of the sower, he says in that particular place, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's not talking about these listeners having physical ears, for I'm sure that they all had physical ears. He wasn't talking about that. But he was talking about their understanding. Make sure that you understand the things that I am trying to get across to you. Learn these things that come from me and come from God. The same thing was said to the churches in Asia. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. We find there as John speaks and he talks about each individual church and the things that were right and things that were wrong. And the conclusion of every one of them, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Again, he is trying to impress upon them, you learn what God has to say. These are instructions from heaven, and you need to understand them, and you need to apply these things in your life. In order for us to benefit from God's revelation that he has made unto man, each one of us must have the proper attitude toward learning that word. Our attitude must be proper. It must be correct if we're going to be acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. This attitude of learning what he has to say. We examine the word of God and we find that we are to develop within us a certain attitude toward instruction. And each of us as individuals, as children of God, must have a burning desire to know God's will. That's an attitude that we must develop. We've got to have that desire within us to know what he would say to us, so that we can burn with that desire to know the will that he has extended. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, we find the proverb is making the statement there, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. He is expressing in this to buy the truth. And along with that truth, you buy and you get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You pay whatever price you have to pay for the truth, for understanding, for instruction that comes from God. And once you possess that, you don't sell it for anything. You don't give it up for anything at all. What is he expressing here? He's expressing a burning desire to know God's will. We've got to have that. We've got to have that desire to know and understand what God wants us to do. There is a preciousness in the truth that is beyond price. And we must have a willingness to sacrifice everything that we have in order to obtain that. And then once we have that, it is our duty to cling to that at all cost. Give it up for nothing at all, because it is the most precious possession that we can have. That ought to be our attitude toward the truth. And when we develop that kind of an attitude toward the Word of God, then we're headed in the right direction as to being a wise learner, to being a wise individual. You know, Christ taught exactly the same thing over in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 13, in verses 44, 45, and 46, in that parable of the, that chapter of the parables that are there, he tells of two parables concerning the kingdom of God. And he said, it is like a treasure hidden in the field which a man finds, and hid, and for joy, over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then again he says the kingdom of God is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is he talking about here when he says it's a kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like unto this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this. Well, that kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is those things that God has extended unto man through Jesus Christ, his Son. The truth that is found there. the blessings that are found in Christ, the spiritual blessing of having forgiveness of our sins, the blessing that we have of addressing Him as our Father in prayer. All of these things that God has revealed. This is the kingdom of heaven. All that man has access to through Jesus Christ, His Son. That is then the truth. That is instruction that comes from God. And He is saying that the kingdom of heaven, all that God has done, is like this great treasure. It is like this pearl of great price. And in each case, we find these individuals that they sold everything that they had in order to gain possession of this great treasure, of this pearl of great price, which was compared to the kingdom of heaven. Christ taught exactly the same thing as the Proverbist did in Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. It is the most precious possession that God has given unto man. The Bereans, as we look in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, possess the attitude that you and I must develop toward the truth. It says there that in connection with those in Berea, that they were more fair-minded, or the King James uses the word noble, they were more fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true. They were not going to listen to this man Paul that had come into among them and just simply listen to him alone. They had a desire to know the truth, and they were going to examine what Paul had to say against that which they knew was the truth, which was the Word of God. They had a desire to know it. And they weren't going to listen to anybody that came along. They were only going to look into the instruction that had been given by God. Each of us must have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, because it's only then that we are going to be filled. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Christ points this out to those individuals. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. He's talking about a hunger and thirst for the will of God, for the righteousness that's found in Jesus Christ. We've got to hunger for it. We've got to thirst for it. And in that way, and only in that way, are we going to be filled. We've got to have an attitude toward instruction that says we want to know what God's will is. And a wise man is known by his attitude toward the learning of the will of God. It is the wise man who will listen to the instruction that comes from God. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You give instruction to a wise man, and he's going to be wiser still. He's going to learn because he has a desire. And he is known in his wisdom because he loves instruction that comes from God. And that just man is going to be one who will increase then in learning. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. That person that receives the instructions that comes from God, that's a wise individual. He won't turn his ear away from hearing the law. He won't be considered a fool and fall. But he's wise because he listens to God. And not only just listening in the sense of hearing, but in following the instruction that has been given. These instructions which he hears, he will live by. He will apply them in his day-to-day life. James 1 talks about and warns us concerning an individual who is a hearer of the law only and not a doer. The wise man is one who hears and does. This is what Christ said in Matthew chapter 7. That individual who hears and does is like the man who builds his house upon a rock. The foundation is firm. And regardless of what kind of temptations and trials come against him and that house that he has spiritually built, it's going to stand because it's on a rock. He's a hearer. He's a doer. He not only listens to what God says in that particular sense, but he does it also. He is a wise person. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. But he who refuses reproof goes astray. You know, those are the two paths that we have to take when instruction is given. When instruction comes to us from the Word of God, when we are taught by the Word of God, we have two paths that we can choose. We can choose to listen to it and do what God says, and in so doing, we are considered wise by God. Or we can refuse to do it. We can refuse any kind of instruction or reproof. And that leads not to God, but away from God. It leads us astray. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, because instruction is the way of life as it comes from God. Maintaining this attitude toward learning will only increase this individual's wisdom also. It will not decrease it at all. It will only increase his wisdom and his standing before God. Proverbs 13 and 31. The ear that hears the reproof of life will abide among the wise. Once again, we see, you know, we kind of get a theme going here, don't we? The individual is wise. Why? Because he listens to the Word of God. He listens to that instruction that has been given from heaven itself. And he doesn't turn away from it. And if he is considered wise in doing that, when he continues in that, he is considered that much wiser because of that course that he has taken. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Young people, perhaps this was addressed toward them. You listen to instruction and to counsel. You listen to that which comes from older people. You listen to that which comes from God, so that you might be wise in your latter days. We would ask the young people, do you do that? Do you listen to counsel? Do you listen to instruction? Do you listen to those things that come from God, that come from godly parents who are striving to do and teach you those things that are right? If you do, then you will be wise in your latter years. If we live our lives in accordance with this attitude, we will love those individuals who correct us because perhaps of sins that we have been committing in our life. You know, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? That's a hard thing for us to do sometimes because of the pride that we have. Someone will correct us. Someone will reprove or rebuke us because of something that we have done that's wrong. And our reaction, first of all, might be, well, who is that person to correct me? But the wise person will examine what is being said, and they will see if that's the instruction that comes from God. Then they will receive it, and then they will love that person who has taken the time and the effort and the love themselves to set out and correct that person which is wrong. That's what a wise person will do. He'll love instruction regardless of where it comes from. Regardless if it comes from directly from the Word of God or directly from an individual that has our best interest at heart. If what they have to say is in accordance with the will of God, really it is God who is instructing us. Proverbs 9 and verse 8, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. A wise man is going to love you if you rebuke him. Not in the sense of telling him off or telling him that he's wrong, but rebuking him by the Word of God, telling him that he is wrong and pointing these things out to him. That wise person will receive that rebuke correctly, and he will love you for that. We will love instruction if anytime we have opportunity to rid ourselves of any kind of incorrect belief in exchange for a correct one, we will love that individual. We will be wise enough to do what the instruction has to say. Again, realizing that it does not come from that individual, but it comes from God, if that person is speaking the Word of God. That's what the wise individual will do. He will receive instruction. He will make changes. He will be rebuked. And he will love that one that corrects him when he is wrong. In contrast to that, we find that the fool hates reproof. He will not put up with it at all. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But notice what he says. But he who hates reproof is stupid. Now that comes from the New King James Version. The word stupid is used there. The individual who hates reproof is stupid. Now I know probably a lot of your parents don't want your kids to use the word stupid. But that's what the Word of God has to say on the matter. The King James uses the word brutish, as if he were a brute, as if he were an animal. That person who hates reproof is just like that. He won't receive instruction. He will not receive reproof. He will hate you for it. Proverbs 13 and 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That person that scoffs, that person that thinks they're right all the time, that they never do anything that's wrong, that they have all the knowledge that they need to have, that whatever they do is right, that person won't listen to anything that the Word of God or anybody else has to say to them. The 13th chapter again of Proverbs in verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards reproof will be honored. And I think perhaps we've seen in our own lifetime individuals who are just like that. A person who knows it all. Maybe some young individual who has all the knowledge. Nobody who's older can tell them anything. They know what's right for themselves and they've set a course for themselves. And they follow that course. And what happens is that shame comes upon them because they've not listened to instruction. But that person who listens to rebuke, who listens to reproof, and regards it, that individual is honored. And we will find, even on occasions, that the fool will hate the person who corrects him. Paul made the statement in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He wanted to know, since I've told you the truth, do you now hate me? Do you count me as an enemy because I reveal to you what God would have you to do and where you are wrong? Proverbs 15 and verse 12. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him, nor will he go to the wise. He doesn't even want to go to those people who are wise, those that have the instruction from God. He does not love an individual who will reprove him. We have then these two courses to follow. When instruction comes from God, we can be wise or we can be foolish. And the wise individual listens to what God has to say. The foolish person will turn away from him. But we might also want to ask the question in regard to this, well, what should our attitude be toward that individual who will not receive instruction? And I'm sure we've run across people just that way. They won't listen to what God has to say. Regardless of how we might plead with them, regardless of the number of times and the words that we choose to speak to them, they just won't listen. They will not receive instruction. What should be our attitude toward them? This is an important question. Should we strive to continue to teach them the Word of God? Or is a point reached when we should turn our energies toward others? I believe the Bible tells unto us that it is a sad situation. But there are some who are just not going to listen to instruction regardless of where it comes from. Regardless of the individual who is trying to teach them the truth, they simply won't listen to what the truth is. The fool will respect no one, and he will be taught by no one. It is the fool that has set his face against the truth. In Proverbs 21 and verse 29, a wicked man hardens his face. That is, regardless of what is said to him, regardless of how that individual who's trying to correct him might be doing it in love, he's a wicked person and he hardens his face. He will not listen, regardless of where it comes from. Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Here we have before us depicted an individual that is set in their ways of unrighteousness, and they will not listen to anything that you have to say. And he's even going to despise the wisdom of your words. And he may even try to turn them against you. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Again, the proverb is there as we read verse 9 just a few moments ago. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Here we have then that a scoffer, you don't reprove him. An individual, again, that is set in his ways, who will not listen to instruction. That person, don't try to reprove, because he's going to end up hating you. He will not end up loving you for trying to give him what is right from the Word of God, but he will end up hating you. Jesus taught exactly the same thing over in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. He's talking about people here who would not listen to the Word of God. He's not talking about literal dogs, or he's not talking about literal swine. He's talking about those that will not listen to instruction, will not hear the Word of God, and let it have application in their life. But he is saying that these individuals are like dogs who don't respect anything holy. They are like swine who have no value and place no value in pearls whatsoever. People can reach that point, to where they are considered just like this. And Christ is saying at that particular point, instruction is not going to do them any good. And should you try to instruct them in the ways of righteousness, they'll do everything that they can to turn that on you and cause harm to come to you and perhaps the influence that you have on others. The early apostles learned exactly the same lesson. In Acts chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, in the 18th chapter and verse 6, we find that they ended up shaking the dust off of their feet as they were leaving towns because of the way that they were treated, the way that others did not receive the instruction and the truth that they were bringing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They shook the dust off of their feet as a testimony, as a witness against those individuals who would not listen to instruction. Christ made the statement in Matthew 15 and verse 14 as he's speaking of the Pharisees there, but it could apply to anybody who rejects the truth. Let them alone, he says. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. People continue to follow the way of iniquity, the way of unrighteousness. Then they, as well as those that follow them, not listening to instruction, will end up in perdition. A fool also is often left to learn by means or by methods of punishment. And this was something that was done under the law of Moses. Punishment would teach a person what he or she could not or would not learn by instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verses 1 through 3. We find in the law of Moses, if there is a dispute between men and they come to court that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence, according to his guilt, with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above this and your brother be humiliated in your sight. In this particular situation, we find the judge has made a judgment and rendered one as righteous and the other wicked. But even in that, if he does not learn, it may be that he deserves punishment above that. Not just that he has been condemned, but that he also receives stripes, that he receives blows. For the one who despises the Word of God and will not listen to instruction, there are times when it happens unto him that he will suffer for the consequences of his actions. Proverbs 10 and verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wisdom is found on the lips of those who understand. But what is the result of that individual who is devoid of understanding? It may be that physical punishment has to come upon that person. Proverbs 19 and 29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the back of fools. Here again, it may be above just simple instruction that an individual will not learn. And something physical might have to be done to that person. A fool will learn less, though, from this kind of punishment than the wise man will learn from instruction. The wise man's going to learn from simple instruction. But many times the fool will not even learn from physical things that happen to them. They won't even learn from that, and that makes them that much more a fool. Proverbs 17 and 10, reproof is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows for a fool. Here again, reproof for that wise man is effective. He listens. He listens to instruction. He listens to corrections that need to be made. Rather, that's more effective than 100 blows for an individual who is considered a fool. There are some people now who break the law of God and the law of the land, and they end up in prison. But even sometimes those people don't learn. They don't learn the lessons that they need to learn. And some might say, well, this type of punishment is unnecessary. If nobody's going to learn from this type of punishment, then it's ineffective. But this type of punishment is necessary. For if the one taking or doing the offense does not learn, it may be that someone else will learn. The wise will learn from what happens to the fool. I can remember many a lesson I learned from watching my sisters get whippings. When I saw them do something that was wrong, and I saw the punishment that they received, I tried to learn from that. And I'm sure they learned it from me when I was punished. The wise person will do that. The fool won't. The fool will continually be punished over and over and over again. And just because the fool won't learn, that doesn't mean the wise won't learn from the foolish's experience. Proverbs 21 and 11, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But the wise, when he is instructed, he receives knowledge. The wise person learns something. The wise person learns from other individuals. He doesn't have to, she doesn't have to physically suffer from the things that they have done that are wrong. They'll learn by what happens to other people. Continued rebellion will lead eventually to destruction. Many people will destroy themselves and go a long way in the destruction of others by their ever-present offending of the law of God. Proverbs 13 and 13, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. God has set in motion a very simple law, and it's a law that is always going to be followed in the physical as well as in the spiritual realm. Whatever an individual sows, that's what he is going to reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7 points this out. And however we sow spiritually, that is how we are going to reap. And if we sow unrighteousness and wickedness, then we are going to be destroyed. We're not wise. If we sow righteousness, we will reap those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Most of us, I'm sure, are acquainted with someone who has in their lifetime continuously rebelled against the Word of God. And as a result of that, we see a slow destruction in their life. It doesn't come upon them perhaps immediately because of sin that they have committed, but because of sin that they have committed, slowly but surely, their life is destroyed. Perhaps their family and those that are around about them are destroyed as a result of a continuation in the sin that they commit. One who turns away from what they know is to do is right will slowly fall away completely from God. The Bible calls this man a fool. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instructions, but he who receives reproof is prudent. Receiving instruction makes us wise. Receiving the commandments of God and being obedient unto them makes us wise in the sight of God. What makes us fools is if we don't listen. And you know, that puts us in some pretty bad company. Because Psalm 14 and verse 1 says there that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A person who will not listen to the instruction of God is a fool. The person who does not believe in God is a fool. We're in pretty bad company when we don't listen to what God has said. When we despise the reproof that comes from Him. A person who will not receive instruction then, with a chance to change a wrong, that person is a fool. Again, this is God's estimation. Now again, we want to ask the question, do you consider yourself wise or do you consider yourself to be foolish? It's easy to determine. It's so easy to determine whether we're wise or whether we're foolish. All we have to do is ask ourselves, am I doing what God says? Am I doing what Jesus has instructed me to do in His will? Am I doing that? If I am, then I'm a wise person in the sight of God. If I'm not, then I am foolish. How do you receive instruction? How do you receive instruction? Whether it comes from others or whether it comes from God? Do you get all huffy about it? Do you get all puffed up? Or do you carefully consider what is said? And see if there is any merit in that. To see if that instruction comes from the Word of God. Young people, how do you take criticism? How do you take criticism for the things that you do and instruction that comes from your parents? Do you just simply say, oh, that's what Mom and Dad want me to do? Or you take it in the right way? You receive instruction properly. If you do, then you're a wise child. If not, you're foolish. Parents, we might consider it ourselves in correcting our children when they are wrong. Do we do it in such a way that it generates wrath within them? You know, we're not to provoke our children to wrath. We wouldn't be wise parents if we did that, if we didn't listen to the instruction that comes from God. The wise man, though, will receive that instruction, and he or she will make the necessary changes that will adhere to the Word of God. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, how often has the way of salvation been made known unto you? How many times have you listened to the instruction that comes from the Word of God? How many times have you refused it? How many times have you hardened your heart against what God says? That does not make you wise. That makes you foolish. God has our best interest at heart. His instruction which comes to us is not going to be harmful to us. It is going to be for our benefit. You going to listen to what He says? Or are you going to turn away from it? If you're here this evening, won't you be considered wise by obeying the will of God? And again, wise not in the ways of the world. We're not interested in what the world thinks wisdom is. We're interested in the wisdom that comes from God and being considered wise by Him. And He says that you listen to Him and you obey Him. That will prepare you for a home in heaven when this life is over. What is your decision going to be? Are you going to answer Him in the affirmative? Are you going to be wise? Or once again, are you going to be a fool and turn away from what God says? That choice is yours this evening. If you're here and subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and answer the same?